Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am very happy to be back here because I missed you so much. We didn't have an episode last week, and that always means that I miss you. You know how much I love recording this podcast, so I'm back. We're back. We went on a little adventure, which is why we didn't have an episode last week. And I am going to tell you all about that adventure today because these two hungry vegans, meaning Gattles and I, we traveled. We went on a little trip, very short trip to London. And I have decided to divide this kind of series of episodes in part one and part two because I kind of start talking and telling you all about the things we did, and I don't want it to last forever, which can sometimes happen when these types of episodes are kind of off the cuff. And that's the other thing I need to mention before we get started. Today's episode is a little bit different. Normally, you have the written version of the episode in blog post form at brownbowl.com. This week, it's going to be a little bit different because this is kind of an informal episode. I just want to tell you all of the things we ate, all of the places we went to, all of the amazing vegan goodies we had, and the vegan scene in London, and well, lots of other stuff, you know, just kind of a little glimpse into what our trip was like and what you might like to kind of check out if you ever head out to London. And so we decided to mix things up as we sometimes do. And what you'll find in the post that goes with this episode is simply the show notes. So you'll find, of course, the media player where you can play this episode, or you can download it on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this right now. But you're also going to have all of the photos of the food and the restaurants that I'm mentioning, the links to the places we visited, lots of other personal pictures from our trip. So we are going to have, of course, a post that goes with this episode, but it's basically going to be show notes and lots of photos. And I highly recommend that you check those out because I'm going to try to do them justice and describe all of the amazing food we had. But sometimes, you know what they say, pictures worth a thousand words. So I'll try my best, but you can check out everything because I took photos of everything in spite of the fact that I had lots of technology problems while we were away. Anyway, you're going to hear all about this in this week's episode and in part two, which is going to be next week's episode. Now, of course, before we begin today's show, I want to mention a couple of things. The first one is I want to tell you about a resource I think you're going to really, really love. And I'm talking about our signature online program, My Brown Bowl. It's our big kahuna. We've got lots of stuff at Brown Bowl, but this is kind of our big star, right? It's like the big star of the show. This is an ongoing program, all in video format, in which I teach you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get organized. I give you support on your vegan journey, as well as tools to kind of help you find a blissful and balanced place with food and with eating, because that's so important. It's not just about the food, right? But, you know, most of all, what we do is we cook and we cook and we cook together, and we do it in a way that is simple. I teach you why things are done in the kitchen so you can become a total pro and you can start creating vegan meals at home that everybody goes nutty over, even if you share your life with non-vegans. Things that everybody's going to love, things that are really satisfying and delicious. And yeah, it's pretty cool. So I want you to check out everything that's included because there's so much more. And you can do that by watching our little video trailer that explains what the program is all about, which you can find at www.mybrownbowl.com. And that's www.mybrownbowl.com. You can learn all of the details. You can give it a try. And I think you're going to love it, especially if you start feeling really hungry after today's episode. You're going to want to cook some goodies. And that's where all of our goodies hang out. So that's going to be pretty cool. The other thing is that if you would love to support this show, if you want to support our podcast, I always tell you at the end of the show, but I thought I'd sneak it in now at this in this episode, that a great way to support it is to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or on Stitcher. And it's really easy to do. You can do it through the podcast app on your phone by using the little search bar and typing in Bramble. You go to the icon that belongs to our podcast, and then you click, you scroll down and you click write a review or the reviews tab and then write a review. And it's pretty simple. You can leave it there. You can also do it through iTunes on your computer. You can do it on Stitcher. And I can't tell you how much that helps. It really, really helps us grow our listenership and it helps us keep going. It's all free content, what we do in the podcast, and it's always going to be free. So it's a great way to help us spread the word and, you know, just reach people that are kind of looking for this information. You know, when they type in vegan in the podcast app, this helps us kind of rank higher and it helps people find us. So I would be so grateful. I can't even tell you. So that's another way, another little thing I wanted to mention. But now we need to head right in to talking about Vegan London. And when I say Vegan London, I mean that London, so far, I think is the most vegan-friendly city I've ever been to. I haven't been to Berlin, but at least to the European cities that we've been to, it's just I couldn't believe it. And I'm going to share all of the secrets and all of the things we learned on the few days in which we were there. And remember that at any point, if you're curious about anything I'm talking about, you want to see the pictures, they're at bramble.com. You just look for the episode that is called, you just look for the post called Two Hungry Vegans in London, Part 1. So let's get started, shall we? All right. So, you know, 17 years ago, when Gattles and I started dating, our first few weeks of, you know, that beginning, the beginning stage of any relationship, which you're kind of completely obsessed with each other. So our first few weeks of spending every second together, and I mean every second, they were interrupted by a three-week trip that I took to London. And this is a trip my mom had got me as my high school graduation present. It was, you know, already planned for months before I even met Carlos. And it was, you know, I just had to go. It was my graduation present. So we were kind of separated for those 3 weeks in which we were, it was just in that part of the relationship where the last thing we wanted was to, you know, just be apart from each other. At least on my end, I was just completely smitten and I just did, you know, I wanted to go, but I also kind of didn't want to go. Yeah, I was 18, guys. I was 18, right? So, yeah. So I remember just walking around London, keeping an eye out for cyber cafes. Do you remember cyber cafes? I don't think they even exist anymore because now everything has Wi-Fi. That's now every cafe is a cyber cafe, right? And everybody has their phone and their laptop or their iPad. Back then, those things didn't even exist, guys. There were no iPhones back then. So I was just walking around London the whole 3 weeks trying to find a cyber cafe so that I could send him an email. And we wrote, I think, almost every day while I was there and, you know, just back and forth. And of course, we got back to obsessive smooching as soon as I got back. And I've always kind of thought that those 3 weeks away from each other were kind of a big deal. I think they were kind of really important because we missed each other so much that when we got back, when I got back, it was, you know, just even more special, I think. I don't know. They say that absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? So I really kind of do believe that. I do think that it was part of our secret. People always ask me, what's the secret? Because we've been together 17 years. Well, I think part of the secret was those 3 weeks apart when it was so hard to do that. We just missed each other so much. And, you know, who would have known back then when I was a wee 18-year-old that 17 years later, we would still be together and have a home together and be married. And as I had mentioned a few weeks back in one of our episodes, our 10-year wedding anniversary episode, where I told you kind of it was kind of our little love story on the podcast, right? We were going to celebrate that big occasion, that big 10-year wedding anniversary, with a trip. And I didn't tell you where I was going. And as it turns out, by sheer unplanned coincidence, because we really didn't plan this, the destination was London. It was London. It was the same city. I scoured for an internet connection many moons ago. Only this time we went together and cyber cafes no longer exist and we didn't need them because we had our phones. So it was pretty cool. But this was a total, total coincidence. It wasn't planned that that was why we were going to London. The truth, the reason behind the trip is actually kind of there were three reasons why we went on this particular trip and we chose it to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. Our 10-year wedding anniversary was coming up. Godless, as you know, is a doctor and he had a medical conference. He's an allergy specialist. So there was a big, big conference in London for pediatric allergy, something or other. I don't know. So there was a big conference there and he was offered this, you know, the way it happens with doctors is that they're sponsored to go on these amazing trips and to go to these conferences, right? So they don't have to pay for anything. They get their free airplane tickets and sometimes even transportation from and to the hotel and dinners in the city, and they get paid the entrance fee for the conference. I mean, it's ridiculous. These guys are so spoiled. They are just ridiculously spoiled. And this time, you know, normally it's just one day or 2 days and he just goes off and comes back because he has to be in the conference. And this time, because we had our 10-year wedding anniversary coming up, and also because I wanted to visit my grandmother, who is in a nursing home in London. She lived in New York, but she recently moved to London, and she's in a nursing home there. I hadn't seen her in a very long time, and I was dying to see her. So it kind of all worked. We kind of decided, okay, let's do this. And of course, part of the reason was that I was only going to have to pay for my ticket because we had the hotel was, you know, they were sponsoring Godless's hotel stay and some of the dinners we went to, which I'm going to talk about. Those were a big deal in our trip. And he didn't have to pay for his plane ticket. I just had to pay for mine. And that was it. So, I mean, it was so many things in our trip were free. How frequently can you say that? So I had to take advantage of it and I had to go to London and we had to spend our 10-year wedding anniversary. And it wasn't until I came back and I was organizing the pictures for this episode that I realized, hey, it kind of worked because it was in London where, you know, our love just flourished because we were painfully, you know, struggling because we were apart for 3 weeks. So yeah, it worked out pretty well. And you know, what can I say about London? It was completely different from what I remembered. I remembered it so fondly, but I didn't have any pictures from that trip or very few pictures. And it was kind of, I remember that I loved it and I spent such a great time, but I just did not remember the city itself. And this was a complete surprise. If you've gone to places as teens or as kids, I urge you to go again as adults because it's a completely different experience. And of course, it was completely different because I had Godless, you know, next to me. And that was pretty cool. And the main thing I can tell you, I mean, I just loved it. It was such a unique place. It was kind of a mixture between New York and Boston and maybe, you know, pictures that I've seen. I've never been to Germany, but the typical little houses and photos that you see of little German towns, it also had a little bit of that scattered around. And it was just a beautiful city. It's kind of like a scene from Mary Poppins. It really is. All of these, you see all of the little chimneys and these houses with brick and lots of green, lots of ivy on the walls. And it was just such a special city. And I always, one of the things I love about you know, one of the things I love looking at when I travel is just the architecture and seeing what makes a city so special and so different from all of the others, right? Because New York has a completely independent and kind of unique feel to it. Madrid has another, Barcelona has another, Paris is completely different from any other place I've ever seen. So I love that. I love it when a city has this kind of personality that is unlike any other. And London was completely like that, but it had a little New York feel to it. And you know how I feel about New York. I miss it so much. So it was really, really special. It was amazing. And we were very lucky because when these companies that sponsor these doctor trips, when they sponsor you, you don't just stay like at a hotel near the airport. That's not the way it goes. They set you up in the most beautiful hotel right in the center of town. I think out of everything we saw, we were really in the best place to stay, which meant we could walk to so many of the sites and places that we wanted to see. We were right in the middle of everything. We were in an amazing street right in front of Hyde Park, which is this incredible park. And it's, you know, an amazing hotel. It's a hotel that maybe we probably wouldn't have stayed there if we had had to pay for it, right? So it was pretty exciting. And location, 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 right? It really makes all the difference, especially in London, because one thing I can say about London that isn't that great is that it is very expensive. And one of the things that I found most expensive, at least compared to Madrid, was transportation. I mean, the underground is really expensive. Places are really far away because it's such a big city. It really takes you a long time if you want to walk places. And, you know, taxis are very expensive. The trains are expensive. So it was pretty good to be in a kind of a central location. I can't even imagine how much we would have spent if we had been kind of outside the city or to one side. We were just right in the middle of everything. And it was pretty amazing. And we were in front of this amazing park, which you're going to hear about in part two, because we did something special there that was so cool. It was kind of the close to our trip. And I loved it. So yeah, London, you rock. You completely surprised me. Not that I was expecting London to be horrible or at all. I imagined that it was incredible, but it completely just blew me away. It blew me away. And I can't wait to go back. It was very short trip. We couldn't see everything that we wanted to see, so we're gonna have to go back and eat more food. And speaking of food, that was one of the main problems. When you're going for such few days, you only have like a handful of lunches, dinners, and breakfasts that you can take advantage of. We wished that we had been hobbits and had been able to eat 11 seas and all the other crazy snacks hobbits have, right? Because there were so many vegan restaurants that we wanted to try. We didn't even scratch the surface. Part of the reason was we were treated by our sponsors for the trip to two incredible restaurants that were not vegan restaurants, but they had lovely vegan menus for us. And you're going to hear about one of those today and one of those in next week's episode. So those were two dinners that we had to, you know, skip some of the vegan restaurants we had wanted to try. But it was awesome because we had incredible meals and the places were just out of this world. You're going to see why when I talk about them. So yeah, we did get we ate so much great vegan food. But there were so many places that we unfortunately missed, so we are going to have to go back. The weather was also really great. It was sunny most days, and I also got a little bit of rain and gloominess because one thing you might not know about me is I love kind of gray London weather. I love it. I am one of those people that could easily live in London in spite of the rain and how gray it is. I love that kind of weather. I love the sun too, but I could totally see myself living in London and recording the podcast in my beautiful London flat, which would probably be very, very, very expensive, which is probably why we're not going to do it. But we could see each other totally. It was such a beautiful city. And yeah, so let's talk about the grub. One thing that we had going for us that was amazing is we have a lot of friends that live there. Some new friends, some very, very old friends, some who live outside the city, but, you know, caught a train and met up with us. So we got to see so many great, amazing people and have delicious vegan meals with them because fortunately they were all either vegan or they love vegan food. And they were very happy to go with us to all the places that we found and wanted to try. Some of them they wanted to take us to. And it was so cool. So the first spot we went to, in fact, as soon as we arrived, we kind of walked through, kind of central London, and we were walking towards this little restaurant that was our favorite. This is so uncool because I'm going to tell you about our favorite restaurant of the entire trip first because I'm doing this chronologically. So not that the others were bad or at all, they were delicious, but really we went to the best place first. And I wish I could have gone again because I was I'm secretly so jealous of what Carlos ordered that I really want to go back and have that. Even though he gave me lots of bites, it wasn't enough. I want a whole one for myself. I'm going to tell you what that is in 1 second. So this restaurant was Mildred's, and it's located in Soho. There are many Mildred's. It's a vegetarian with tons of vegan options. I think most of the menu is vegan or can be made vegan. And it's a really beautiful place, but the most amazing thing about this place was the food. The service was also excellent. We went to the Soho location, as I said, but there are many others. And this one was so pretty. It was just truly incredible. We went with our friend Cece, who lives in Birmingham and took the trip. She's so sweet. She is a doctor also, and she works in emergency medicine. So she's like the busiest, craziest, busiest person I know. And she took the time to spend the day with us and headed over to London to meet up with us. And we went to Mildred's together. And at Mildred's, we ordered these incredible gyozas, which were cooked to perfection because they do kind of the pan searing where it gets nice and crispy, but it's also really tender. And they were these little steamed dumplings with a little bit of soy sauce. It was delicious as a starter. And I was dying to get their artichoke and lemon cashew artichoke crostini, something like that. But Carlos isn't that big of a fan of artichokes, and he wanted the gyozas, and my friend wanted the gyozas too, so I lost that one. I lost that battle, but I'll be back, Mildred's. I'll be back. So our friend Cece got their soul bowl, which was really amazing. What I love about places like Mildred's is that they can turn a veggie bowl into something that you can't make at home. Because I could not even distinguish the flavors. They were all so perfectly combined. And that's what I want when I go to a restaurant. I want something that I feel that I cannot replicate at home. Something that really makes me scratch my head. Because sometimes what happens is because I'm a recipe creator and I cook so much, sometimes I go to a restaurant and I spend a lot of money and I feel that I could have made that at home. And it makes me so sad. Well, Mildred's was the opposite of that. It was such a different flavor profile from the way I cook and so incredibly delicious. Carlos had the best dish of all, and you're going to hear me mention Caitlin Galler-Uni a lot in this episode. She is the wonderful blogger and writer. She just published her second book. It's a vegan travel guide to Barcelona, and it's so amazing. You've seen me share it in our Facebook page. You can go to our Facebook page and check it out. And she's also the blogger behind The Vegan Word, which you always hear me talk about. And she gave me all of the tips of all of the places to go to in London, and her website, theveganword.com, is a great place where you can find lots of stuff about London because that's where she lives. So it was really, she gave us so many tips, and Carlos ordered exactly what she recommended. He ordered their burger with fries and basil mayo. And let me tell you, I think it's one of the most delicious vegan burgers I've ever had. And it was just unbelievable. I didn't order it because I wasn't really craving burgers that day. And then I regretted it so much. However, I had this incredible meal that was so good that, you know, it on retrospect only do I say, oh, I wish I had gone back to eat the burger again, because in the moment I was so happy with my dish as well. It was sausages, like homemade fennel and white bean and tofu sausages with mash and peas and braised cabbage and gravy. It was unbelievable. And the photo, this dish was so beautiful. And I love that it was a typical English dish that I was, you know, getting to try. So it was just incredible, this meal. My goodness, please go to Mildred's. Leave another space to go again, because you're going to want to try something that you didn't try because somebody else ordered it. So go twice. That's my suggestion. There are so many places, but you're going to want to go to Mildred's twice. That's how good it was. For dessert, we had their delicious salted caramel brownie with ice cream, which was unbelievable. The brownie itself was less a brownie, I think more a cake texture, but it was unbelievable. The caramel had like little chunks of salt. It was, oh my God, so good. We also had their apple, blackberry, and plum crumble, which was awesome. And you've got lots of pictures. After our meal, we decided to go kind of check out the sights, and we went everywhere. We went to Piccadilly Circus, and we went down Bond Street, and we went down Oxford Street. We went to Green Park and to Buckingham Palace, and we saw Big Ben. We just kind of, you know, Westminster Abbey. We just went all over the place and saw kind of all the big sights. And we took some pictures that I will always cherish in Green Park, which is this great, cute, small little park that was filled with autumn leaves that had fallen from the trees. And we just, I'm in love with the pictures we took there. I posted a couple in our Instagram. You can check them out. This place was unbelievable, so beautiful. And there are lots of photos there too of the architecture and those little buildings in London that they, I don't know if they look like the shops in Harry Potter or something out of, you know, just, gosh, they were so, so beautiful. Mary Poppins, I mentioned before, sure, a scene out of Mary Poppins, a scene out of, you know, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you take your pick. It was beautiful. London is just like you see in the movies, or even better. And one thing that I got very mad at London about is that it is a tease. They were such a tease. They were a Christmas tease. They had all of their Christmas lights. Keep in mind, we went before Halloween. It wasn't even Halloween yet. Everybody was dressed up, by the way. Halloween is pretty big there. And they had all of the Christmas lights in the streets all set up, and I was waiting for it to be nighttime to see them light up. And I said, you know, I did think that it was kind of early, but since I am a Christmas freak, I was completely excited, and there were no lights. Nobody turned them on at any moment. They apparently set them up weeks in advance before they're going to actually light them up, and we didn't get to see them. So, London, you are a Christmas tease. And I'm very angry about that because I really did want to see them all lit up. They looked incredible, by the way, all down Oxford Street. It was so, so pretty. And this park, Green Park, I highly recommend you go there. It's a very small park, much smaller than Hyde Park, but it's got these beautiful trees. It reminds me of Central Park a little bit, but it was also just a, you know, very different park on its own. Parks in London are very different from the parks in New York. It's just like these very open fields and very, very green grass and just so pretty. And we had some fun in the autumn leaves that had fallen on the floor. Just let me just say that. And that's what the pictures are all about. Mm-hmm. So Mildred's just made our hearts just shine of vegan goodness. And it was such a pretty spot, and they didn't rush us. I think they were open at kind of off hours. So I don't think they close. And that's really good when you're a tourist and you're on Spanish eating time, because Spanish eating time is very different from London eating time. And a proof of that, you know, proof of that is going to be in part two when I share that we even got to find out that Fridays, TGI Fridays, has vegan options. And I'm going to say why in part two. But anyway, that was a very special day. And And we walked back to our hotel. Well, we took a bus back to our hotel. And we had to get ready and all dolled up because we had the first of our two dinners with all of the doctors. These were hundreds of doctors that were going to this conference, all from Spain, and including some of our friends, which was pretty cool. And so we got all dolled up to go to this place. And this restaurant that they took us to, also, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful place. The architecture inside this restaurant was incredible. And this was the Bluebird restaurant in Chelsea. Chelsea is like this very posh, very high-end neighborhood in London. Very expensive. While we were getting there, by the way, it's these things are kind of like these rock star conventions. So without the rock and roll, although we had rock and roll, I'm going to talk about that in part two as well. But they pick you up in these huge like tour buses and they take you everywhere and they kind of tell you what you're seeing while you're going through London until you reach your destination at the restaurant. Then they pick you up at the restaurant, leave you back in your hotel. These doctors, man, they really kind of, they do know how to party, I have to tell you. So we went on this bus and they were telling us all about these, you know, like the most expensive hotel in Europe and the most expensive street in London. And we saw all of these very, you know, designer stores and all of these kinds of things. And it was, you could tell it was a very expensive and posh and very elegant part of town. And the restaurant was just like that. It was very, very beautiful. The architecture inside, as I said, was incredible. I posted some pictures there. I posted some photos of the two of us. And the great thing about these places, we didn't even get to see the menu. So please, with this restaurant and the other one I'll mention in part two, keep in mind that these are not vegan restaurants. I didn't even get a chance to see the actual menu, but I'm linking to the website of the restaurant in case you want to check it out. They might have vegan options already marked, or they might have, you know, just vegan friendly options. But what happens when we go to these dinners is that they organize a whole menu for everybody. So we were kind of like in this private area of the restaurant, and you don't pick what you're going to eat. They just bring you a menu that they have designed for this convention, right? And for this group of doctors. But the great thing is that everybody knows we're vegan, so when they organize and set up these kinds of dinners, they order a vegan menu for Carlos and for me, which, by the way, made everybody jealous. In both dinners, everybody wanted to have what we had. They all said that ours looked better, so there you go, right? Even non-vegan restaurants can really make things happen, and they can really make veggies shine and make very creative dishes. You're going to see what they were in a second. And even if they're not vegan, guys, so sometimes when you're planning something like this, you can just ask and see if they can accommodate you. And especially when it's a big group, most of the time they will. They'll figure it out because they want business, right? And they know if it's something delicious, these big companies will pay to go there again. So our meal was unbelievable. There is a bit of, we can't agree, Carlos and I can't agree as to which meal was our favorite, because we have different favorites between the two dinners that we were treated to. Remember, these were the dinners that we didn't even pay. I have no idea how much this restaurant costs, by the way. My guess is it's expensive based on the look of it and the neighborhood it was in. But we didn't even have to pay. I mean, we just sat there, ate, got back on our bus, and went back to our beautiful hotel in this beautiful part of London that we also weren't paying for. Isn't that the life? That's a good way to travel, right? So, all right, first course. Well, first of all, they brought us the most amazing bread, really warm and delicious. And the first course was this kale salad, but it was steamed kale, very lightly steamed. It had an orange vinaigrette and it had toasted almonds and it had radishes. It had roasted fennel, really thinly sliced, and peppers and cherry tomatoes. And it sounds very simple, but the flavors were unbelievable. Gattles has been to enough of these dinners that he knows that if he finishes the first course off, he's not going to have any room for the second, because you really do eat a lot at these dinners. I couldn't stop. I could not stop eating my kale salad because it was that good. The flavors were just unbelievable, which meant that I couldn't finish my second course, which was even better. So I'm so sad about that. I wish I could go back and have it again. So here's what we had for the second course. It was so creative and it didn't look like much when the plate came, but I can't even tell you what those flavors were like. This was like there was a base of perfectly roasted potatoes, delicious. And on top of that, there was kind of like a medley of seasonal vegetables. There were turnips and leeks and fennel, all kind of grilled or maybe broiled, but they were kind of charred in the tips and it was just cooked to perfection. And on top of that, we had some greens. And on top of everything, we had what we eventually realized was a rhubarb sauce. This combination, guys, was killer. I can't even tell you how delicious this was. The rhubarb with the roasted potatoes and the charred fennel and the charred leeks. Oh my God. It was so good. Unfortunately, I couldn't finish it. They also brought us a little side of some steamed spinach and a side of some lettuce greens that had this very kind of oniony dressing. It was really, really yummy. Lots of bread. They kept bringing bread, which kept being a problem because I kept eating it all. Not because bread is bad, but because it was occupying the space that the roasted potatoes with the with the rhubarb sauce could have used up, right? So it was so good. You have pictures of everything. The decor of this restaurant outside, it had like a little terrace, was beautiful. They had fall decor everywhere, these beautiful pumpkins. And we were there with our friends having conversations. We're going to have, by the way, a special episode following our London trip episodes all about the conversations I had about veganism in a table full of doctors who we had never met before, who, of course, had to talk about it because we were the only two vegans in the whole entire bus, room, probably hotel. So maybe not hotel, it was a huge hotel, but you know, within the group, we're the only two vegans and people have a lot of questions. So I'm making a whole episode about the conversations that happen at the table when you're in a situation like this. And yeah, so I haven't mentioned dessert, and dessert was quite possibly one of our favorite desserts of the trip. It was so simple, it was insane, and yet it was like a feast for your taste buds. It was this very, very thinly sliced pineapple. It had some mini mint sprouts, well, like what are these called? These microgreens, like microgreens, but mint and spearmint and all of these delicious kind of sweet type of fresh herbs. So we had this carpaccio of pineapple and toasted coconut flakes on top and this vegan ice cream made out of lemon and coconut. So basically this dessert after that big, big meal, it was so refreshing and so light and delicious, but it was basically a piña colada on a plate. Yeah. So good. Now, normally after these dinners, I don't know how, because we were completely full. Normally, we all go out for drinks and, you know, to talk because everybody's excited. And we didn't do that night. I think everybody was exhausted because that was the day we arrived and we were exhausted. We had walked all over central London. We had eaten at Mildred's, which meant we were already kind of full when we got to this dinner. But it was so special, and I got to meet some amazing new people that I had never met before. And we got back on the huge bus and got back to our hotel and into this amazing room that we had and fell right to sleep. We were so tired. And yeah, the next day was going to start early. Carlos woke up like at the crack of dawn to go to his medical conferences. I got to sleep in while he was doing that. And then, you know, I got ready and we met up with him again. And we got to meet the awesome Caitlin Gallaruni, who I just mentioned before. She's the writer she's the blogger behind The Vegan Word. And she has just written this amazing book. It's called Barcelona Vegan Guide. It's ranked amazingly well on Amazon. And I got to see it. I got to see the paperback edition in person while we were there with her. It's beautiful. I can't wait to get it. and use it next time I'm in Barcelona. It's pretty cool. So go check it out and go check out her website. She is responsible for me going to all of the places that we went to, especially Mildred's, which she had insisted that we had to try, and we had to have that burger with basil mayo and the fries. And she was so right. She was so right about everything. And not only that, she is the sweetest sweetheart ever. If we lived in the same city, we would be besties. I just totally know it. We are so much alike. And it was so incredible to see her. She took us, by the way, as if I didn't like her just because of her being her. She took us to Jazz and Jules Chocolate House. This is near the King's, kind of between the King's Cross and Angel tube stations. And it's in this little place called Chapel Market. And it's this outdoor market. The market wasn't like going on at that moment, but it goes on there. They had sell vegetables and all sorts of things. And it's such a beautiful and quaint little place. And this place, Jazz and Jules Chocolate House, is really incredible because they make their own chocolate on the premises. And to top things off, this is my favorite part, everything they sell at the cafe has chocolate in it, even the savory stuff. So I was totally hooked when she said she wanted to go there. One of the reasons we chose that place, well, of course, it has the word chocolate in it. So yeah, there you go. But they are very doggy friendly. And that was very important because part of the Vegan Word team is Benito, her amazing, cute little doggy who got to go with us. And you're going to see lots of pictures of Benito because he was basically a doggy superstar. He is a doggy superstar, and he was basically the star of the show the whole time we were there. He's just such a character. I fell in love with his dog, and he's so cute. Everybody was, paying attention to Benito, and everybody in the cafe knew him because he's a star. He's a star. We just loved him so much. But of course, Caitlin is just amazing. She is amazing. And I'm so grateful for all the help she gave us with this trip. But especially, I'm so glad that we got to meet because we're kind of internet buddies. We've been, we've been in touch through email and through our, Instagram feeds and Facebook and blogs. And I read her blog constantly. It's full of tips and full of delicious, very simple recipes. You heard me recently talk about tomato fish, this recipe for tomato fish, and how obsessed I was with this photo she took. That's her. That's in her blog. The blog is theveganword.com. Go check it out. And if you're going to London, she's got all the info on her blog. It's just the perfect place. So yeah, we got to meet her in this incredible place. It was beautiful, by the way. The cafe itself is so cute. And Carlos was there with us as well. So we all got to talk about, London and blogging and food and just so many things. And Benito was trying to get a bite of everything that we ordered. It was so funny and cute. And Caitlin ordered this incredible cake that I took a picture of it, but the picture turned out awful, so I couldn't post it. But it was this coffee and chocolate cake, which was just as delicious as it sounds. We had avocado toast with chocolate. Yeah, that's a thing. It's kind of like avocado toast with cacao nibs on top, and it really works, guys. I thought the avocado had a bit too much lemon in it. Like, you couldn't taste the avocado that much, but it was still good. It was still delicious, and I love the crunchy bits on top. But the best two things we had in this cafe were, by the way, this is not a fully vegan cafe, but most of the things are vegan, and they're clearly marked. One of the owners is vegetarian. One of the owners is vegan. So everything is either vegan or vegetarian. Most of it is vegan. And the best two things we had in this place were the waffles. We had chocolate and banana waffles. You're going to see a picture that's going to make you drool for the rest of the evening. And we had one of my favorite things, and I was so glad to be able to eat this vegan style while I was in London, a sausage roll. And this is basically a sausage wrapped in, puff pastry. It was fantastic, really top notch. I make this kind of stuff at home, and this one, it really, it was much better than mine, for sure. I loved it. And I don't know, just go check out the pictures, guys. It was so cute, so great. And check out Caitlin's book, her new book, and check out her blog. She is the kindest, sweetest person. And I wish she lived in Madrid so that I could just, well, I hope, Caitlin, I know you might be listening to this. So come to Madrid, come to visit me. And I'm going to take you to all the cool places and to all the delicious, eat all the delicious food, Spanish food and non-Spanish food that is also vegan, that is so scrumptious. Please come over and visit. But I would also love her to move with Benito, because Benito would totally hit it off with my girls. And I know we would be such good friends. She's the sweetest. And we had such a good time at the Chocolate House. And remember, I'm linking to all of these places in the posts. So you'll have all of the information on how to get there and everything, because I'm linking to the websites. All right. I also included some pictures of all the post-chocolate shenanigans we kind of were involved in, which basically meant walking around. We have a pretty funny story, funny and sad, because if there are any Harry Potter fans, this was near King's Cross Station, and we were kind of walking around and kind of getting to know the area, looking at all the beautiful houses, and it's just so cute. It's like this place out of a movie, guys. London is really just what you see in those quaint, beautiful movies. And we were walking around, and one thing you probably don't know about me is that if I am drinking water or anything else throughout the day, I need to pee frequently. And Godless always jokes that in New York City, I should create an app to help people find bathrooms anywhere, because he says you can put me at any corner in New York City and I can tell you where there's a bathroom you can go into for free, which is true. Not true, because I don't know all of the street corners of New York, but pretty much. So we both really needed to pee really badly, and we walked into King's Cross train station. It's really beautiful. It has this incredible roof. The architecture is spectacular. We went in, we used the bathroom, and then we left. And that evening, we talked to a friend who asked us what we had done, and we told her that we had been to the station, that was beautiful, and she said, oh, did you take a look at the platform where, you know, Harry Potter and his friends catch the train to go to Hogwarts? It's right there, and there's, well, I mean, this is literature, of course, but that's the place where in the book this happens, and it's marked, I think, I don't remember, but it's a number and 3/4, 9 3/4 or something like that. That's like the part of the platform where he gets on the train. And it was right there. And it's this historical, very important part of, not historical, it's part of the new history of London. We didn't see it because we went in to use the bathroom. Pretty funny, right? Now, the reason, this is something that only happens to vegans, I think. The reason we were walking around aimlessly through these parts of town, and we basically saw everything and then just sat in a little, kind of like a little square, and it was really a very nice part of town. We looked at the houses and it was just very, very cute. But one of the reasons we were kind of wandering the area and not going anywhere else is because we were waiting to go and have lunch. We had just had this massive breakfast, but we really wanted to go to the vegan Japanese restaurant. There's a fully vegan Japanese restaurant in London, and it's right near the Chocolate House. So only vegans will kind of stay in one area, just circling it, just to be able to eat again in the same neighborhood. It was really the only time we had. If not, we would have gone back another day, but we had everything kind of booked and plans with friends, and everything was occupied. It was the only moment. And we were so full that we said, okay, Japanese fare. It's kind of lighter, so that's a pretty good idea if we're still a little bit full. So this place is called Itadaki Zen. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Itadaki? Itadaki Zen? I don't know. You've got the link. And this is a fully vegan Japanese restaurant. I would not call it a sushi restaurant because it really only has, at least in the lunch menu, it only had one sushi roll, which was kind of what we were hoping to eat. That's kind of what we always crave when we're thinking of Japanese food. I think that if you're kind of looking for other style Japanese dishes like udon or, you know, having some tempura or more traditional, cooked Japanese food, I think you might really like it. It's a very simple cuisine and the place is very cute. It's very small, but we had no problem getting a table. We had no problem getting a table anywhere. It was much easier than in Madrid. In Madrid, sometimes you really have to book a table or you won't get lucky. But in London, it was pretty great. There were spaces everywhere, which was really great. Maybe because it's such a big city and there are so many restaurants that, yeah, it was pretty easy. So we went to Itadaki Zen. We got their bento box, which is what Caitlin had recommended. And we also got their sushi rolls. They only had one type of sushi roll. And everything was yummy and everything was good. The only thing is we were kind of hoping for more different types of sushi rolls, kind of like what you can find if you go to the Japanese place in New York or any of these new famous vegan sushi restaurants. And the other thing, I mean, we liked it. The food was good. It was yummy. The place was really nice. But it wasn't our favorite meal of the trip. It was really, really very simple. I think it's, you know, if you're spending just a few days in London, maybe skip this one and go to one of the other many incredible restaurants that you might not find where you live. Because I do think that you can have, you know, very delicious Japanese food, maybe even in non-vegan Japanese restaurants. And also, we're kind of spoiled because in Madrid, I have a favorite vegan Japanese. Well, it's not fully vegan, but they have a vegan menu. A couple of Japanese restaurants in Madrid that are so unbelievable. However, in Itadaki Zen, they had delicious tempura, and we ordered it thanks to Caitlin because she said, get the tempura. She recommended we have the udon, which we did not have. So maybe if you feel like having udon, go, because she really recommended it. And what I can say for Caitlin is that everything she told us to get was spectacular. So I'm probably sure, I mean, and everywhere else was so good. But she recommended the udon and we just were not that hungry. So we didn't get the udon. But the sushi rolls were good. It was yummy. The tempura was really fantastic. And then the bento box had a couple of other little sides that were just okay. I think we would have maybe rather gone to some of the other places that we didn't get a chance to go to because we were there for such a few days. But if you live there, I can totally see going. I mean, if I lived there, I could totally see going there for, you know, just a light meal or just a sushi roll or just a bowl of udon if you feel like a little Japanese soup comfort. So that's kind of my summary of Itadaki Zen. I think there are other Japanese restaurants that are much better, but it had its thing. It had its little thing. And the tempura was definitely fantastic. It was kind of this grated tempura, which is the way I make it at home. That's another problem, guys. Maybe I'm not the best person to ask about Japanese because I make a lot of Japanese food at home. So Goddess was comparing it to that, which we should never do because all food and all cooks are very different. And this was a very different type of Japanese cuisine. It's not the typical one you think when you think sushi restaurant. And that's what I had in mind. So that's why it was kind of not our favorite, but it was still yummy and it still filled us up. And it was nice to go because I was really curious about it. Japanese food is near and dear to my heart because it was the first cooking class I ever took when I was 15. So I was very excited to go here. And now I'm dying to take Caitlin to our Spanish Japanese place because it's very simple. It's not vegan, so it doesn't have a lot of options. But it was good. Another thing I can say about Itadaki Zen is that perhaps the dinner menu has more options. I'm not sure. But this was the lunch menu, which is, you know, it's obviously something that people go to have a quick meal, something really simple. And, you know, thinking back, it was yummy. It was just, you know, not this, I only had a couple of days there. I would have maybe swapped it out for another restaurant. That's all I have. That's, you know, that's all. But it was good. And yeah, so that's basically all of the places I'm going to mention in part one. In part two, we're going to cover lots of ground. In part two, I'm going to tell you about that second freebie dinner that we went to with the people that sponsored Carlos's trip. And all I can say, it's a very fancy place. It's in a very, very important part of town. And it's historically, very, very historically relevant. And that was the coolest part, other than the food, which was really good. But that was the coolest part. And it has to do with a certain very famous English detective. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to wait until part two so I can tell you the story. It was so exciting. And the place was really unbelievable. And so that's going to be, you can look forward to that in part two. You can also see, I'm also going to tell you what our favorite part of the trip was. Well, I don't like to say that because the trip in general was so cool. I hate to pick favorites, but this was special for many reasons. I'm not going to tell you what that is. You're going to meet some other of our friends and another very cool blogger. And how, you know, what we ate when we went to the oldest vegetarian restaurant in London, which is now fully vegan and which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. So we actually went right on, you know, for their 50th anniversary. It was pretty cool. And you're going to see what we ate there. You're going to see lots of little glimpses and scenes from London, Hyde Park, so much more. It was so cool, guys. And we're going to cover all of that in part two, mention all of the vegan goodies that we had. And yeah, you're just going to have to wait until next week to check all of that out. Now, please go and check out The Vegan Word because I feel that this should have been sponsored by them, because by her. There's it's a one woman and doggy show behind The Vegan Word. And go check out her Barcelona Vegan Guide. It's available on Amazon and it's so cool. And the reason I'm mentioning it so much is because thanks to Caitlin, we had such an amazing time, not only because we got to meet her, because all of her recommendations were so spot on. They were really, really delicious, and especially Mildred's. Go to Mildred's, and again, like, schedule a second trip to Mildred's. It's that good. It was that good. It was really our favorite. And, well, you're going to hear lots more. You're going to hear next week about how we had the best cheesecake we've ever had since we've been vegan, best cheesecake, best first actual cheesecake. And I'm going to tell you what my little pet peeve with cheesecakes is. Anyway, lots more is coming. And that's going to be next week on Thursday, which is our little date. So, of course, I will see you then. And in the meantime, there's lots more coming to our online program and to our YouTube channel. We've got lots in store. So stay tuned. And I will see you next Thursday because that's our little date here at the Brownwell Podcast. Thanks so much. Thank you, Caitlin, for all your amazing grub suggestions. They were all spot on. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.